It is 7:45 on a Saturday, which means time for a wine chat with our friend Jack Farrell from Haskell's. Good morning, Jack.
Morning, Denny.
How are you doing
nice
today?
Warm day.
It is 32 officially, and we might hit 43 today. How about that?
Oh, my God. It's springtime
in
the Rockies.
It is.
In the Twin Cities, I mean. Jeez.
What are we going to talk about today?
You know what I thought we'd talk about today? I was out for dinner the other night, and we had a variety of people sitting at the table, and they ordered duck, short ribs, chicken, and cod and tomato sauce. Wanted a red wine that went with all those things. Well, I called on an old friend, the most versatile of all reds, Chianti. And believe me, it went. Everyone raved about how well they thought it went with those four totally different dinners. Duck, short ribs, chicken, and the cod. Of course, the cod was in a rich tomato sauce. And I thought maybe we should talk a little bit about Chianti. Chianti got kind of a bad name, particularly in the United States, because it was regarded after World War II as a cheap jug wine. And that's really kind of tragic, but there's a little truth to it, too. Chianti has kind of a noble history. It's one of the first wines ever talked about. In the 13th century, the wines of the Chianti Mountains in central Tuscany, and Tuscany is in the center of Italy, and that's where Chianti comes from. And it's likened by many people to the Bordeaux of Italy. It's a big, big area, and there's a lot of subsection Chianti, so there's varieties all over. And in spite of that history going back to the 13th century, nothing much was done there until 1716, when Cosimo de' Medici, who was the Duke of Tuscany, allowed that certain villages could use the name Chianti. And then, again, it languished for another 125 years until Baron Ricasoli decided to post and enforce the recipe for Chianti, which was 70% Sangiovese, 15% Canolo, and 15% Malvasia Bianca. Now, Malvasia Bianca is a white wine. Yes, they made Chianti with white wine. In fact, some still do, but it's changed a lot. And it's the Chianti area has benefited greatly from all these changes. As I said, after World War II, it was a cheap red wine that filled the bill. I mean, it was palatable, it was affordable. It was, you know, not unpleasant. There wasn't anything to denigrate about it. And a lot of the jug wines from California were labeled Chianti, and they came in gallons and half-gallon jugs. And people thought that was just a fine wine to drink. However, ignoring the high quality of Chianti that can be made. Now, Chianti has really four main classifications. The first is just straight DOC Chianti, and DOC means Department of Origin, let's say, is close enough. Then there's Chianti Classico, Chianti Reserva, and then Chianti Superior. Chianti Superior, in my opinion, don't even think about it. It's a lot of fluff. It doesn't mean very much. But the Classico Chianti is really kind of brought Chianti into the fine world of wine. It is always found with Classico, has a black rooster, Gallo Negro, on the label that it, ensures the authenticity. And Classico Chianti has to be kept in barrel for at least 24 months. And then the Reserva is a little more, 36 months. But any Chianti is really good. And in the late 70s, they came up with Super Tuscans. And a Super Tuscan is a grape-grown wine made in Tuscany, in the Chianti region, but it doesn't apply the rules. So the most expensive wines from Chianti are labeled DOC, or just bottom of Van de Table. They're table wines. And the reason was the producers began to experiment and grow Cabernet Sauvignon and Merlot, etc. And so they couldn't sell that as Chianti, so they created this thing called a Super Tuscan, and they are phenomenal, and they're very expensive, and wine collectors all over the world seek out things like Ornellaia and Sassicaia and Basilico because they are Super Tuscans, and the only reason they're called a Super Tuscan is they don't follow any of the regulations. To be Chianti, it has to be over 75% Sangiovese. And a lot of Chianti producers today make 100% Sangiovese. But as I said, it has a noble history. The wines really are so versatile and go with so many different things. And Sangiovese itself is a really wonderful varietal. In fact, nowadays, you see there's places in California that are making Sangiovese and labeling it as such. But it wasn't known for a long time. And like I say, Chianti is one of those areas that has improved since the 90s phenomenally. With all the new regulations that have come in and money, you know, that was the poorest part of Italy. As is evidenced by after the phylloxera epidemic in the late 1800s, hundreds of Italian winemakers immigrated to the United States, and that's how we got Mondavi and Sebastiani and a lot of the great names in California were Italian immigrants that came from the wine producing areas of Italy, which were hit very hard by the phylloxera epidemic that wiped out all the vineyards, caused them to immigrate, and it was great for our wine industry in this country. But then, and we've repaid them back, because now we've since the 90s sent technology there, oak barrel aging, etc. This is all new to these people in the early 90s. And the result was they produced extremely holiday type festive great Chiantis. And also we saw a market for inexpensive, easy drinking, and that was a boon for the region, because you can buy a Chianti today for $10-$11, and it won't be the greatest wine you ever had, but you won't turn up your nose at it, and that's the versatility, in my opinion, of a Chianti wine. Because of that blending, it's like Bordeaux, which you've blended Cabernet or Merlot. In Italy, it's Sangiovese and the other varietals from around there that they blend and produce really good wines. You know, they benefited from cropping more and more intensity, and like I say, created these Super Tuscan wines, which show that the wines of Chianti really are world class. They compete with first growths from Bordeaux and the best wines from California, these Super Tuscans, and the reason is they can experiment with the different grape types. But Sangiovese is such a versatile grape type. As I said, it went with all of those different things. It really was a terrific thing. One of the things also I'm mindful of Chianti, everybody that's probably over 50 remembers wicker-covered bottles. They're called Frascati, and every Italian restaurant had a Frascati bottle on the table that had a candle stuck in it and wax dripping all over it, and it was a wicker wrap bottle. Those today are very, very rare. Number one, it's expensive to wrap them up, and the machine wrapping isn't as attractive as the old hand wrapping was. And one of the most interesting things about that is it was the earliest form of a thermos. The Frascati bottle got its start because the workers would go out in the field, and the night before they would lower that bottle with the wicker covering on into the well. And then in the morning, take it out of the well, and of course the wicker was soaking wet. And during the day, as that water evaporated, it kept the wine cool. So when you had lunch in the field, you had a cool, chilled glass of Chianti to have with your lunch. And plus, don't forget, in those days, glass was very, very expensive, and wrapping up the glass protected it, as well as kept it nice and chilled for your lunch. Now, these bottles today are, like I say, they're machine-wrapped. They're not as pretty as the old hand-wrapped ones. And generally, when you buy a bottle of wine, Chianti, in one of those bottles, it's a pretty cheap Chianti that goes inside of it. There's a little town in Greve in Chianti, which is the first place I ever saw a computer wine dispenser. They had a big room, must have had 150 wine dispensers where you could taste 150 different wines from the Chianti region, and you got an ounce of each, got a little plastic card to put in. I thought it was phenomenal, and that was, my golly, 35 years ago or so. And they're still on top of their game in Chianti. As you wander through, it's probably one of the prettiest areas, wine areas, in the entire world. The rolling hills of Tuscany, and around each corner is a new little hill town where you can have the most wonderful food, and of course, the Chianti wine. There's other wines that are produced in this region. Brunello di Montepulciano is one that's produced. It's very, very good. And Montepulciano, Nobili Montepulciano, is produced there. But really, the heart and soul of the area is Chianti. And Chianti's, like I say, oftentimes get a very bad name. People think, well, it's just cheap wine. Well, it isn't. It was for a long, long time, but it's improved greatly. And like I say, the various boundaries, this is a big area. It goes all the way from Florence to Pisa down to Siena, and it encompasses this big area called Tuscany. And the Chianti Classico is a small area in the center. That's the best. Look for that Classico and that Gallo Negro, the Black Rooster on the label, and you'll be just absolutely delighted, as I was. I invested in a winery once called Villa Cafaggio, and it was one of the happiest times of my wine career. I was the proprietor, one of the proprietors of that, for about 13 years, and we were delighted in producing what we thought was really top quality Chianti, and it was produced at a very low price. You know, you don't really have to break the bank to get a good bottle of Chianti. And as I said when I started this, it's so versatile to go with so many different dishes. Chianti is a wine that even the most ardent Cabernet lover has to say, well, you know, that's pretty good. Or the same thing can be said about a Pinot Noir lover. It's a good medium-of-the-road type of wine choice, and some of them are spectacular, as is evidenced by these great Super Tuscanies. So Chianti is an area, if you haven't explored it, by all means, try it. It's a wonderful wine. Like I say, I'm partial to Villa Cafaggio, but there's a lot of them. There's famous names. Some of the people with their names on Chianti, their families have owned that property for 700-800 years. So there's a lot of historical stuff, and if you ever get a chance, for heaven's sakes, go and visit the area, because it's one of the prettiest wine areas of the world, and as most wine areas, it has great food, and best of all, it has great wine.
It really does. I'm with you on that. And at Villa Cafaggio, oh, that's tasty. I love that stuff.
It is a good bottle of wine.
Well, I tell you where you can find that and all the things Jack talked about today, and you'll get lots of help along the way at any Haskell's location.
Indeed. Winter wine sale is still ongoing, goes for one more week. Believe me, if you're looking for something balmy, because it's a balmy day, or you're looking for something when Thursday drops down to single digits again, stop in at Haskell's. They can't make the meal, but they can ensure the meal is special by picking the right wine to go with whatever dish you're going to prepare. And you know, best of all, they'll help you pick a wine, red or white, won't break the bank, and it'll be a perfect pairing. There's a Haskell's near you where you can save big dollars on wine. Haskell's in Bloomington, Excelsior. There's a Haskell's in Faribault right off of 35. Our Maple Grove Super Cellar is not to be missed. And in downtown Minneapolis, there's free parking on Saturday and Sunday. Haskell's in Plymouth, St. Paul's Island Village, Stillwater, White Bear Lake, and Woodbury, too. And if you can't come into Haskell's, go to Haskell's.com or go to WCCO.com/wine. It'll take you right to the Haskell's website where you can peruse our 12-page catalog with our winter specials.
All right, Jack. Well, I'll tell you what. We enjoy the balmy weather, and who knows, 1 week from today, the other shoe could drop, but we'll find out.
That's right.
For sure.
That's
but
right.
Enjoy the
Let
week.
Us and be prepared.
Absolutely. Thanks for all the information, Jack, as usual.
Good to talk to you.
Talk to you next week with more of a wine chat with our friend Jack Farrell from that family-run business called Haskell's.